It is I, the Moa Man, Moa Man Musings, back from the dead. Haven't published anything since 2018. I will be publishing things with a little bit more regularity. But without further ado, let's get into this. Los Angeles Lakers, your 2020 NBA World Champion. You underduggles. Now, it's been a while, like I've already said, about, you know, doing a podcast or publishing. I'll focus on some other items, whirlwind and shit. Hey, I didn't feel compelled to really do it. But boy, do I have time today. Oh, man. I've been waiting to put this bad boy out for a while because it's just redemption. It's redemption in so many ways. Obviously, people are privy to the fact that Kobe Bryant, along with his daughter and I believe seven others, including Pilot, Montebelli, excuse me if I'm forgetting the other people's names, tragic loss. I recall that Sunday waking up just feeling really unusual. Got that news that Kobe Dean Bryant had passed in a helicopter. So, you know, from there to the Lakers absolutely humming, number one in the West, can't be stopped. The Dipper's nowhere to be seen. They're load managing and doing, actually, fuck them. Excuse me. Forget them. But, yeah, so you have Kobe's passing. You have the stoppage of the season in March as a result of COVID. The Lakers had literally just beat the Dippers on a Friday, beat the Bucks on a Sunday, and then lost to the damn Nets that next Monday. And then the season was canceled. I believe the next game was canceled. Shout out to my boy KG. I want to say he went to one of the last games. No. I'm sorry. I'm compounding other things. He went to the game, I believe, after the first game after Kobe had passed in terms of the NBA. You know, and they had done a nice tribute and all that type of stuff. So, not to get sidetracked, because, you know, I have the propensity to do so. But what an absolutely unbelievable season by the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, I actually gave myself some notes here so I don't jump off on a tangent and start talking about elections and politics and all kind of stupid shit like this. but I wanted to start by discussing the roster. Now, I'm going to go through a bunch of guys, people that know me personally, you know that I have a disdain for Danny Green. So I will say his name once more, and then a very short blurb, and then I'm done with him. Because, I mean, it got to a point where I was calling his misses. Like, he put a shot up, and I'm like, oh, that's a brick. Oh, that's an air ball. So I don't know if it was his volar plate injury or whatever. Like I said, I'm trying to keep it short on Danny Green because I don't want to be disrespectful to a three-time champ, you know, not saying that he's bad by any means. But God, he did not play very well. Defensively, he did. You know, people don't understand kind of his technique and what we were kind of running with the he's the ultimate slider. He will slide you into an area and you will have nowhere to go. He is the best at that. The back taps, you know, coming over the body where he seemingly looks beat, but he's still elevating and contesting a shot from behind. I mean, that makes for a very unusual jumper for people. So I have to give him his credit where it's due and not sound like an absolute dolt when it comes to basketball, because I do know a little bit about basketball. So anyway, first person I'll talk about is Mr. Kentavious Caldwell Pope. This man was hooping with an ankle monitor. He was in jail and getting out and hooping for the Lakers at one point. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So we've been through it with KCP, but he played absolutely enormously. He started off disgusting. So, you know, the 8 games that started, the 8 seeding games or whatever you want to call them. I mean, I told everybody, I said, there's no way that the Lakers are going to win the championship playing like this. Like, are they just trying to give people burn and stay healthy and then they're going to turn it on? Like, I don't like somebody turning on a switch after being off for 4 months and lackadaisically going through games, just going through the motions. And then in hindsight, looking at how much PT a lot of those guys got, like Deion Waiters specifically, and he's injured the whole postseason run. So I don't know what the whole seeding games were about. I think that probably that might have been something where the Lakers were like, we're just going to show you how much these don't mean a damn thing and not have any effort whatsoever. But yeah, that was a whole weird thing. So I didn't really have any takeaways in terms of people's play because I wouldn't even finish games. I'd be like, I'm not watching this. These guys are not trying. As somebody who's watched at least part of every single game, if not three quarters to the full game, or went back and looked at highlights from, you know, Laker film room or just some random YouTube, you know, people uploading stuff that they shouldn't be that doesn't get copyright struck, you know, rewatch the game or whatever. I didn't have any real takeaways. I just felt like guys were kind of tense, and I felt like some guys weren't really in shape, but I just said, whatever. Playoffs is what matters. So we get to the playoffs. We get beat by the Trailblazers game one, and KCP went 0 for 9 that game. That man was 0 for 5 from 3-point. And man, I desecrated this dude's name. I was just like, what is this MF mother? Hey, what is this guy doing? But, you know, when it was all said and done, he came through. That game six, he hit, I believe, two corner threes total in the game. One was like earlier, another was like the last 4 minutes or something like that, and had a beat a guy off the dribble layup for two. I think that 5 points like kept us respectable enough to kind of win. I can't remember the exact score. I probably should have looked it up and everything so I could sound like I know what I'm talking about, but. Whatever sequence where he rattled off 5 quick points and nobody was doing a fucking thing, KCP stepped up and he played lockdown defense. And like I said, with the whole five point outburst with the three and in the layup, without him, we likely don't win game six. I mean, it wasn't. I think people don't understand. Like Miami was still kind of there about probably 3 to 4 minutes out, somewhere in there. So enough said about KCP. He redeemed himself. Who knows if he's going to be back next year. I believe he's a free agent. But hey, we gave him $18 million for a season at one point. So I've got to think that that has something to do with something. You know, he was a clutch client, was our first clutch client. Then we got Bron. So I don't know. Dwight Howard being the next player. Now, I publicly made a statement, very publicly, that delightful coward would never win a championship after that 2012 debacle of him being on that piss poor team with Steve Nash, Kobe, him. I can't remember who the hell played. Who I think Powell was there. And then, was it Artest? Don't know. The team fucking sucked. Dwight Howard was a big part of that. I understand that he, pardon me, no COVID. I understand that he had some back issues and whatnot, but damn, dude, like, don't play if you have back issues. Like, just wait until you're healthy, then come back. That's what I would think. But, you know, I rescind that statement that he would never win a ship. And I think as a devout Lakers follower, I should have that right because I was happy when he went there. I said, it's a wrap, blah, blah, blah. And he was garbaggio, soft as Charmin tissue paper, the purple one. But I'm happy for the dude, you know, and his redemption. You know, he seems to be like a big guy with of faith and all of this type of stuff. But you know, I mean, the dude got like 6 or 7 kids. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not judging him. I'm just saying, you know, how much faith do you have if you're just boning and whatever? but I'm happy for the guy. You know, they try to get him up out the league. He was a cancer everywhere he go, everywhere he went. Played terribly for the Wizards. I think he actually played decently for the Hornets. But you know, after Houston, he was kind of an afterthought. But yeah, happy for the guy, you know, showed up on a non-guaranteed. He showed he can still play. I mean, he was masterful against Denver, specifically Joker. You know, Jokic didn't want any of him. I don't know if it was game 3 or 4. But yeah, Joker didn't want any of him. He was like, wow, I'm really getting pushed around by the old Dwight. This is like superhuman Dwight Howard. He was getting O-boards on people, putting it back, you know, just clean moves at the rim too. Like I mean, I was like, wow, he's using the backboard. He's not trying to float it when he's 5 feet away from, dunked it on a couple people, you know, viciously fought for rebounds. I don't know how many offensive rebounds he had that game. I'm pretty sure he had a double-double. I believe it was the game he started, game 3 versus Denver. I don't know. Don't care. Lakers 17. But yeah, Danny Green. I'm gonna just say I'll be happy when he's gone. Period. I don't think that he is a good enough player. If he is going to provide what he provided last year on $15 million this coming year, we have Alex Caruso. He plays decent defense. I mean, I'd much rather have like a Jordan Clarkson or somebody who can light it up than Danny Green. The dude, I don't know what his record or what his percentage was in terms of three, but I'm sure it was basura. But moving on, JaVale McGee, Pierre 3 times. Love his music. He's got some dope beats if you haven't heard. He's got some song. What is that song called? You do not worry about nothing. Pop your brand name, huh? Do you better don't. I can't remember what the song is. It's a what the kids say, a bop. It grooves. But to be honest with you, on JaVale Pierre 3 times, I might not mind if he left the team either. Like, give Dwight Howard those minutes. We saw it in the playoffs. We saw how that paid off. So give Dwight those minutes. You know, sign a guy like a Serge or a Nerlens Noel or something like that, who's a little bit more active on the boards. I feel like JaVale, I don't know. Like, I feel like he's more offensive than anything. He's a decent defender, but he gets boxed out pretty easily. He jumps straight up and bigger bodies knock him out the way. So I don't know. I could just see the Lakers being successful without him. So, you know, he played decent in the regular season. But like I said, I just don't, it didn't, nothing stood out to me. I don't feel like he made a super big impact. Like, if he were down for the entirety of the playoffs, I think we still win pretty comfortably. So, you know, what he gave was definitely needed. And that's pretty much all I could say about that. But I, like I said, Danny Green. Be happy when he's gone. JaVale, I don't care if he stays or goes, to be honest with you. LeBron James. LeBron Biden Harris. I mean, LeBron James. He's the GOAT. And I want all the debate smoke. I want it all, whether it's Polititricks, whether it's, I don't care what it is, basketball. I just. I watched Jordan, okay, Northside. So I remember the greatness. I saw it firsthand in a way. Didn't have that big of an understanding of basketball at the time, but I definitely saw the prime of Jordan, saw the prime of Kobe, saw the prime of the GOAT, LeBron James. That prime has lasted for 17 of those Todorovskis. 18, if you want to be technical, in terms of this weird season. I mean, the guy's played more finals game. I think he played 3 seasons worth of finals games or something. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Name somebody else who's played for 17 years and been in their prime since. His debut was 26, 9, and 6 or 7 or something like that. I mean, come on. The dude is ridiculous. Unblemished by fuckery. Except, of course, his whole jumping behind a candidate. Now, let me make this very clear. I did not vote for Trump. I did not vote for Biden. I do not support Biden. I do not support Trump. What I support is truth. What I support is reality, of which a lot of you folks do not live in. That's neither here nor there. But I have been unplugged from the matrix for a very long time, and I can see through the fuckery. But again, I digress. LeBron is unblemished by fuckery in terms of anything negative. The man has a school. The kids who go there, the family stay there, free room and board on the property. I mean, come on. It's amazing. I think it was great what he did with his voter initiative, pushing these owners to task, opening up these stadiums so people could vote. That's fantastic. As long as, they're voting legally and all that type of stuff. But hey, again, like I said, I'm not liberal, conservative, I'm not none of that. I just see what it is and I call it how I see. And if you as an athlete want to be used by someone else for a purpose, I guess that's what, endorsements are, or sponsorships and endorsements and all that type of stuff. It is what it is. I mean, shit. Nike, they're making they got kids making their shoes, sweatshops all over the, so okay. So again, let's just excuse me again, no COVID. Let's just call it how we see it. Let's speak reality. But again, I think LeBron's the GOAT. I think he is the best, I guess, superstar ever, if that makes any sense. Because Jordan is the archetype, he or the prototype. Jordan is the one who told and showed you, like, this is what can happen. Kobe then did it a certain way, with a certain approach. That as we saw what he was doing after his basketball career, that we understood that he had a lot to do with a lot of his commercials and endorsements and things of this nature. Like, he had a lot of creative control, as I'm sure Bron does too. But that remains to be seen in terms of what he does after his career. Because, like I said, he's in his prime and has been for 17 years and counting. But yeah, I really think that he is the prototypical basketball player. If you want a guy who can shoot a three, shoot a jumper, pass, defend, run the floor, run an offense if you need to in half court, pick and roll to death the hell out of somebody until they pick on the guy who's the worst defender. It just, in basketball was different in Jordan's days. Like, name me the people that Jordan played against. Because all these dudes LeBron been playing against for the last 17 years, there's a shit ton of Hall of Famers there. I don't know if you can say the same about the guys who played against Jordan. Not to say that there's not some of the 50 greatest players, some of the bit, but they wasn't on par with Jordan physically. Mark Price, come on, dude. John Stockton, I don't care how good these guys were. LeBron is bouncing them fools off like he's a Mario Kart with the damn shells going around his car. You're just bouncing off of him. Even though he flops a little too much. But hey, I can be critical of my team. And of course, this is Mo a Man Musings, my podcast. Thank you for listening. On to AC, the Caruso, Alex Caruso. Plain and simple, an absolute integral cog part of what we did. I mean, dude played incredibly. I love AC. I've been watching them. I used to watch South Bay games, or when they were what is South Bay? They're South Bay Lakers now. I don't know what were they called. Anyway, I can't remember what their D League team now G League. But yeah, man, I remember AC, I remember dude booming on people at Texas A&M. Like I, really enjoyed college basketball at that point still. And I probably will this coming year as well because Illinois is gonna be good this year. Young Kofi. Yeah, we got a squadron. Dunsanmu, whatever, however you pronounce his name. I should probably have these names up, but you know what I'm saying. Illinois Fighting Illini, you dig. Alex Caruso played absolutely flawlessly. Now, there was one game where I think this man had, like, he bounced it off his foot, threw the ball out of bounds, threw it away. Like, he had, like, three or four turnovers in a row. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with this dude? But he started a finals game and hadn't started all season, I want to say. I don't think he started one game last season. But plain and simple, they need to keep this dude forever. I mean, this guy is a gamer. He is a player. He will go in and he will do exactly what you need him to do. You need guys like that. He Alex Caruso, I'm not even going to use that analogy because I don't even want to give this person any type of shine whatsoever just because I think, I won't even say if it's a she or he. They're a fuck. But here's some inside stuff for the homies. Oh, cat pee, Mr. Cat Urine. Like, you need guys like that on your team. And what I mean is a guy who knows his role can go in and say, oh, coach, you need me to defend this guy for, 3 minutes each quarter and be rough and get rebounds and do. These are the things that you need. You need people who know their roles, specifically when you got guys like LeBron, when you have guys like AD. It was just tremendous to see, man. Alex Caruso, I think he's only going to get better. And if he can figure out his shot, I mean, the dude could probably average 10 a game, 5 rebounds, a couple assists. Like, that's what you need coming off the bench and being put in different spots. Next person, of course, is Anthony Davis, the Brow, Chicago's very own. He's just a man amongst boys. He was unstoppable in the finals. I mean, it was. He had. I don't really care who the team was, but this man had. He literally did a hang dribble spin, falling away, fade away over the backboard. The shots this dude was hitting, mid range, post. Three-pointer, hit a game winner, Mamba mentality, in the Mamba jerseys, yelled Kobe after it. I mean, man, the dude was ridiculous. The only qualm I have on him is work on your goddamn legs, man. How many times are you gonna get pushed on the floor? As somebody who does not play on the pro level, I definitely have played and play. Well, not really now because of COVID. I go to a gym and shoot by myself, which is just horrendous. But not to digress again, to have a guy that big be just manhandled sometimes during games. I'm like, man, what are you doing? Get up. Why are you falling everywhere? You either have a problem with your balance or I don't know. I didn't really watch AD on the Pelicans, but I don't really remember him killing Portland, going for 43 and 28 or whatever it was in a playoff game, or when he used to abuse the Lakers before we had anybody. I don't remember him falling on the ground that much. I could be wrong. But get a goddamn base, for fuck's sake. I mean, come on, man. I could talk about his excellence for an hour. Offensive juggernaut. Defensively, he can guard 1 through 5. Who else can do that? I'll wait. Absolutely abused Rudy Gobert. Absolutely abused the Joker. Come on, man. And he doesn't get DPO. He doesn't get DPOY. LeBron doesn't get MVP. What is the shim shammaging going on right now? I don't know what that's about. I don't know if that's political. I don't know if that's excuse me. I don't know if that's like a big fuck you to Jeannie Buss and Rob Palenka and the whole organization, but it's like, what? When the season stopped, and that's what I thought that they were going off of, LeBron was the best player in the league. And I'm not being biased, as you heard me just rip the shit out of him. Of which you can't really rip him. He doesn't have much you can rip him on, even though Skip Baseless does it all the time. I mean, that's just a travesty. He should have most certainly won the MVP. Without LeBron, we're not a playoff team. Evidence last year. With LeBron, we are a champion. Period. Anthony Davis for Defensive Player of the Year. Like I just said, he can guard 1 through 5. Who can do that in the league? I will wait. Nobody. And I get it. I'm a homer. I'm super biased. I'm not even going to try to hide my allegiance. But come on, man. Come on, man. Rajon Rondo. Absolutely hated his guts before he became a Laker. Actually, still hated him while he was a Laker for a very long time. It's just simply because he was a Celtic. Didn't like him. Thought he was a punk. Thought that whole Chris Paul thing was bullshit. You know, he might have gotten spit or sweat or something flicked on him, but I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. You gonna swing on somebody and do all that? Got Brandon Ingram about to break his little skinny legs trying to get into it. I didn't like that at all. But he's a huge reason why we have number 17. Period. I don't know what the hell he was doing in terms of a training regimen. But whatever the hell he was doing, I need it. I ain't never had pecs like that in my peak shape. I do 100 push-ups a day. My pecs still ain't popping like that. No, you can't. I don't think you can even say stuff like that anymore. I was about to say no JoJo, you know, rhymes with JoJo, if you know what I'm saying. But you know, pause. We'll just put it like that. The man had chesticles. I need the regimen. But he came back looking phenomenally. The dude was in the best shape of his life. I never seen Rondo look like that. Like he was actually muscular and functional. Like he could move very well. And he pounded the ball a bunch, but I mean the dude with the whole thing with Markieff Morris hitting like 4 threes, I think, and like that's forever gonna be etched in my mind because Rondo was just finding them left and right, just giving him a nice little shovel right in the pocket, blang, blang, blang. Back rim Coopers. Had a couple swishers in there too. Markieff was going nuts. But again, Rondo definitely was a reason for number 17. You know, he went from oft injured to a few hiccups to being available and absolutely needed the entire finals run. And so you have to respect that. You know, I'm hearing that he might go to the Dippers. Fine, bye. Chris Paul gets bought out, he comes to the Lakers. I'm cool with that. Because, you know, you're gonna go over there and play for Sweet Lou, and Sweet Lou ain't gonna let you pound that rock. Vogel would, because Vogel knew you had to do it to get into a rhythm. Sweet Lou ain't gonna let that happen. He gonna be like, pass the ball, run to the corner, let Kawhi and what's his name? Way Off P, Plandemic George. Let those bums work. So it's whatever. I don't care if he likes it or not. Playoff Rondo. The man was magnificent. Hall of Fame Rondo. I mean, you got to throw the guy in the Hall of Fame now. He got 2 rings. The dude is sick. I mean, I think he's got a couple 20 assist games. I mean, he just look what he did with Chicago. They were shite during the regular season. I think they were just hovering above 500, maybe even right below it. They pick up two games in a row. Rondo breaks his hand. They go and lose four straight, I think, to the Celtics. So there you go. Playoff Rondo is real. Duds are Jared Dudley, integral part, integral part of all of this. He kept the locker room right, man. He made sure he was in Kuz's ear. He was making sure Kuz was getting his work. Like, I know people think that Kuz is terrible now, and I tend to think that he is a regressing player in the eyes of a lot of folks. But let that man get his body right and get back in rhythm. And the reason why he was the steal of the draft when he came out, that'll show up again. He didn't forget how to score. He's just not hitting buckets. His legs ain't all the way right. You know, that ankle probably still was bothering him a little bit. He just switched from Nikes going to the Puma shoe. I mean, people don't look at stuff like this, but that definitely has something to do with something, I would think. Sounds right in my head, so hey, we'll go with it. But I'm looking forward to watching Dudley coach, commentate, whatever he does. I'm here for it. It's the speech for me. Did I do that right? People be like, it's her hair for, or it's the hair for me. It's the toenails for me. What is wrong with people, man? Like, shit just gets, it catches on, and then it's like a coronavirus. It just lives on. It just lives. It floats around and matriculates and meanders, and it's just the language, the lexicon, the jargon. It's just interesting. But yeah, whatever he does, coaching, commentating, if he tries to be a GM, like watching that, I watched him a little bit after the Lakers winning the championship. I think it was the Ringer. I don't know what the podcast. Maybe it was the Bill Simmons podcast with Russillo. I don't know if it was that or if it was Russillo and Bill, or I don't really follow Bill Simmons like that anymore. Because he's a sell dick. But yeah, the insight that Duds gave on that podcast was just, I mean, I was sitting there with this grinning ear to ear. I was doing something else and listening to it in my ear while I was doing it, and I'm just smiling like, man, that's crazy. LeBron had a wine cellar. Come on, man. But yeah, I hope he's back. And he was huge in ways that people don't really know. Quinn Cook, I don't know about Quinn Cook, man. He's a multiple time champ. Shout out to his dad, RIP Ted, big Lakers fan. Quinn actually won one this year. It's awesome tribute. But why is he on the team? He never plays. When he does play, they attack the hell out of him on defense. But he can score. I mean, he can shoot. I don't know. I don't know about Quinn Cook at all. But you got another one. Markieff Morris, as I alluded to earlier, the flurry of I think he had four threes in the first quarter or something crazy. Forever be etched in the mind. Absolutely tremendous performance. I was screaming. Just going nuts. But I thought he fit into the system pretty well. I thought he did exactly what we needed. And again, he that type of player, him, Serge Ibaka, those are needed. You need big guys who can defend three, four, and five, who can also shoot. Because if you want to go small, you put him at the five. Don't run AD, give him a breather. But then you want to go big, you can have Dwight, AD, Morris, LeBron, and KCP or even Danny Green. It's everybody's over 6'5". Good luck. But yeah, I'm fine with him coming back. Probably won't be back. I don't know. Maybe he liked it. He seemed to be pretty happy. And people be labeling him as a Like I hate how they label, and it's always a black player that they label, because he plays hard. He's a thug, or he's Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson come to mind, Quentin Richardson come, and coincidentally, these guys have podcasts now. So I don't know if it's that, they think that they're super aggressive and all that type of stuff, or what it is, but or is it because they're too outspoken and they don't go by the book? And I don't know, but you need guys like him because he don't carer. If it's popping, it's popping. And he's been like that since he played for Self at Kansas. I'm cool on cheese, man. Deion Waiters, Champ Cheese. Still can't get over that you was tweaking off an edible on the fucking team plane for the mic. Come on, man. But yeah, if he could get his body right, stop flossing, he could be a problem. Likely on another team, but he can be a problem. I mean, he was eating. Like, I would like to see him go and then pick up Jordan Clarkson in his place, because he does what Jordan Clarkson does. But Cheese don't play a lick of D, and he got that damn Hennessy pudge all over the bottom of his chin and his stomach. Like, you can see it. Come on, man. You're a pro basketball player. You should see at least an ab. Pause. But yeah, I would like to see him go and get a guy like Jordan Clarkson for sure. J.R. Smith, same boat as Deion. Wish we could. I've seen him a little bit more. It's clear he can still shoot. He's in shape. That was a good thing. But yeah. Him and Dion didn't really do anything in the finals. So it's like the reasons we had picked them up in the first place, you can definitely replace those guys. Talon, the young talent, THT, Talon Horton Tucker, this kid's going to be an absolute stud. He's like 6'4", got a 7'9" wingspan. It's like 7'1" or 7'2", something along those lines. But it's ridiculous. Like, that's Josh Moten, a la Peoria, Notre Dame, back 04, 05, 03, 04. Stand up straight and scratch your kneecaps. Tennis star. A guy with that wingspan, like you, and you're athletic. If you can move your feet and you have a big wingspan, it don't matter who's in front of you. This is what I used to do at all the courts. When I finally realized, oh, stop being stupid and use your body, I said, I'm going to stick my chest out. I'm going to put my arms as wide as they'll go. And I'm going to make sure that I move my feet. And if a person is starting to beat me, I'm running my knees and hips right into their legs. That's what I did. I don't know. I probably started doing that when I was hooping in North Carolina in my early mid-20s, or 22, 23, somewhere in there. Because I was hooping against kids who were going to D1 colleges, Clemson and Duke and Air Force and all this. It's a game everywhere on Tobacco Road. It's NC State, UNC, Duke. What else is there? I mean, you got all these schools around there. Tons of colleges, tons of kids in their 20s and 30s, and people who love hooping. So that's the same thing with this dude, man. He can move his feet and he puts his hands out. He can lock down damn near anybody. And he's been getting his body right. If you look at what he looked like in college, I mean, the dude was dumpy. He played at Iowa State. He wasn't particularly great. And I really think that has a lot to do with his conditioning. If he was in the peak shape, not even peak shape, but if he was in the shape that he's in now, and what he did for South Bay Lakers, the dude was a killer. Yamming on people, can finish at the rim at weird angles. Like, his finishing is almost Harden-esque. Like, dude was getting fouled, knocked down, just, perfect English off the backboard. Can shoot a pull-up three, and he's just never sped up. He's almost Kyle Anderson slow-mo like. Just got his own pace. So I'm really excited about Talon, because this dude Just mark my words. He's going to get regular PT at some point in the season this coming up season. He might even get like 10, 12 minutes a game just to see what he can do. But he just calm, collected, score from anywhere, pass, defend, run point. I mean, super excited about this kid's maturation because we need homegrown people like this. We need guys that, we get late in the draft or undrafted even, that we can develop. Because it's like all the young guys, we get them and we develop them a little bit, then they go somewhere else, and then they become the most improved player in the league. Brandon Ingram, killing. Lonzo Ball, still garbage, but I think he'll figure it out because he knows the game. He just got to get, his body and shot and all that type of stuff where he wants it. But I have no doubt that he's going to be in the league for 10, 12 years because he's a point guard and he's quick and he's big and he can defend. So yeah, I'm really excited for the maturation of talent and seeing where he goes. You got Kostas and Kcott. Those were two other guys who are on two-way contracts, played at South Bay. Kostas would be booming on people, Kcott as well. Kcott even got playing time. I can't remember what game it was because it's been a fucking year. Yeah, I can't recall what game it was, but dude was killing. Got some PT, did his thing. That's why he got a two-way. And Kostas Antetokounmpo as well. I think them dudes would be nice pieces, maybe 2, 3 years down the road, or possibly as trade bait, a la Isaac Bunga, or however you pronounce it. It looks like Isaac Bonga, but apparently it's Isaac Bunga or something weird. Mo Wagner, Moritz Wagner, kid who played at Michigan. Who else did they get? Oh, Thomas Bryant, who ate at Indiana. He's a hell of a player. I think he even made the starting lineup for the Wizards. That's not saying much, but those are three guys that we had. We picked up. They got a little bit of PT, kind of developed. And then we use them as pieces. So Kostas and Kcott and even maybe Talon might be that. Or they stick on the roster. But either way, that was the roster. But I did, I know I alluded a little bit to it in regards to Anthony Davis and LeBron, with their Defensive Player of the Year and MVP. But yeah, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't understand how Anthony Davis. Did he get third? I think he was third behind Gobert. I don't know. I can't remember. It was him, Gobert, and Giannis. But it's like Giannis got exposed in the playoffs. If he's such a good damn defender, how come you couldn't stop Jimmy Butler? Crickets. Insert cricket noise here. Because it makes no sense to me. It's just hate. It's pure, unadulterated hate for the Lakers. I wish that I had like a little bit better relationship with some people that I'm, know and or have been, privy to or close to at one point in my life. Like, I wish I could ask some questions to dudes who are in the NBA, know what the heck is going on, these types of guys, to see what the heck it is. Because it's like when Rob Pelinka doesn't, I think he was like seventh in executive of the year. Like, that's insane. Absolute insanity. LeBron doesn't win MVP. AD doesn't win. I don't get the Lakers hate. I mean, even with all that hate, they still came through and got the COVID championship of the world. And if anybody thinks that there should be an asterisk on this, you're a goddamn idiot. How about you start up a professional basketball season. Stop. Take 4 months off, even though the Lakers were playing at the LA Gears Founders Court, which is an exact replica of Staples Center. Them fools was in there having full them fools in there having full 505s. Fuck what you heard. But yeah, they was definitely having full 505s, and so, they came back, and I'm not surprised we won, to be honest. But it's like a genuine disdain for the Lakers. I don't understand what that's about. I don't get it. Because I'm one of the people who can look at things objectively. Yes, I'm a homer, but if somebody makes a good point about the Lakers, I'm not just gonna sit here and be like, nope, you're wrong. I'm gonna say, yeah, you got a good point. That's just what it is. But I just thinking back, it's just been so crazy. It's just so many things popping in my head, from the stoppage to the restart to the games in Orlando. It's like I said, and a couple of my boys as my witness, I said, if the Lakers are able to start back up, they're gonna win. Excuse me for that belch in your ear. But clairvoyant Moa strikes again. Now, full disclosure, I was reading The Mamba Mentality by Kobe Bryant right before game six. And the thought of losing such a huge influence on my mentality, coupled with the Lakers taking it a full calendar year after the start, and of course my son being named after the great, I cried. I was sitting there, I was looking at them win, and they were celebrating and stuff. I'm like, yep, y'all did it, Laker gang baby, y'all did it, man, y'all did it. I can't believe it. Yeah, I'm not ashamed. I'm 6'3", 215, damn it, and I cried like a baby. But that's what it is. 7 years of just—I mean, I couldn't even watch games sometimes. I would try to, but I would just be so hurt. Like, please give me 500,000 and I'll play harder than every dude on this court except Kobe Bryant when he was out there at the time. Like, it was, ugh. The cat from, I mean, man, we had so many players who you just don't hear of them anymore. That's how bad. Anthony Brown from Stanford, where is he at? Who was the kid from North Carolina? Light skinned point guard, probably 6'3". I can't remember his name. Where's he? Robert Sacre. Where is he? Playing in Canada somewhere? Ryan Kelly. Xavier Henry. Yeah, I don't even want to think about that, because I just started feeling bad again. But we got number 17. We're tied with the Celtics. Yep, I call them the Celtics. I have a thing about calling all of the teams by names that don't apply to them. And I don't care how stupid they are. The Houston Rockets or the Houston Cockets. The Pelicans or the Pelicans. The Phoenix Suns with an O, because they are that, our Suns. The Utah As, because they're ass. It's not creative, of course. I don't care, but it's hilarious to me. Golden Fake, because they got the most bandwagon jumping phonies. Like, all of Golden State's fans were, which again, they're now Lakers fans back again, but all of those were the fans who, got the hell up out of Dodge when D'Antoni, I think D'Antoni had left, and then Mike Brown started coaching that, or maybe it's the other way around. I can't remember. But those are those fans. And you guys can stay up there, because Golden State, they might be serious next year, but they're not the Lakers, and the Lakers got a better chance to repeat than anybody in my eyes. They have the most continuity. Because they do have the possibility to bring everyone back. And they also have, what's the word? Chemistry. They also have a lot of that. So I personally want to see everyone come back. I doubt it's possible with the money on the books. I've seen a couple things. Again, I'd be looking at Eric Pincus on Twitter because he's the money guy. Like, he always be knowing about all the contracts and stuff. So I've been trying to kind of see what he's saying about our books and all that. But I don't know, because this whole COVID thing might, you know, they're talking about NBA escrows and whatnot. I don't know. So who knows? But, you know, if everybody could come back, I would be fine with that, even JaVale and even Danny Green. But I personally want to see somebody like Jordan Clarkson on this team. Could you imagine JC next to AD, LeBron? KCP on one wing, Jordan Clarkson on the other. Just put in whoever else you want. Game over. But yeah, as stated, to wrap up, this is Small Man Musing. Next year's outlook is a back-to-back run in my eyes. I said Golden Fake was going to be better. That's fine. Yes, the Cockets will likely be decent. Portland will probably improve. But one thing that we did well was we defended Dame and CJ, Harden and Westbrook, Joker and Murray, Jimmy, Bam, Dragic, and the shooters. And I don't want to hear anything about, oh, it was hurting. We played who the fuck was in front of us. So eat a dookie dong if you want to try to diminish what they did. These are still professional athletes. These are still guys hooping and having something on the line. So I don't want to hear that. These are NBA players. Any one of these guys who was in any of the playoffs could literally go to any rec league in the country and score 60 at will. Like, that's how good these people are. So I don't want to hear anything from anyone. There is no asterisk. This is a legitimate championship. Who can see us? We're too versatile. You want to play small? We'll put AD at the five. You want to play big? As I stated earlier, AD, Bron, Green, KCP, JaVale, you throw Dwight in it. It's nothing. I don't see many weaknesses. And if Pelinka put this roster together last minute, as he did, again, why he should have gotten Executive of the Year, he put the roster together at the last minute. Okay? Minimal pieces. Let's not forget history. Oh, and how'd that work out, Kawhi? I bet he wish he went to the Lakers now and didn't grab old Plandemic P, way off P, Mr. Shrivel Up in Big Moments, Paul Georgington, who coincidentally could have been the Laker too. But I'm going to gloat and be as disrespectful as I want to be. Because the last 7 years, I had to hear it. People said the Lakers suck. They'll never be good again. They'll never win another championship. You're wasting your time rooting for a team. 17. Let me see your team miss the playoffs. Then the very next year, win the championship and then speak to me. Thank you for listening to Moa Man Musings. This has been the rants and raves of the Moa Man. Be well, stay safe, wash your goddamn hands, and wear your mask.